If you're passionate about sports and looking for a thrill, you need to check out the freshly redesigned XBet. They're calling it the last sports book you'll ever join. I've been playing on XBet, and they really do have it all. Whether odds on basketball, combat sports, or even betting on the next Bitcoin dip. And the best part is, when you win, you get paid quick. But it's not just about placing bets. XBet is a whole experience. They support athletes and sports shows just like ours, and they give back to the community with tons of free bets and cash prize contests. Did I mention they also have a casino now? Spin the slots, play some roulette, or even try your luck at the live tables, all from a mobile platform that lets you enjoy the fun on the go. Whether you're super into sports betting or curious about trying it out, you need a site that makes it fun and easy. That's why you've got to check out XBet. Sign up today using the promo code TOOLSHED and get a generous bonus of up to $1,000 on your first deposit. That's right, promo code TOOLSHED for free cash bonus to kickstart your journey. With so many great UFC cards on the horizon and the fact that baseball season is in full swing, there's never been a better time to play. Make your next bet, XBet.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here.
We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Welcome to the Tool Shed, a podcast covering all aspects of fantasy baseball to help you win all of your fantasy leagues. From the MLB draft all the way to the show, we're here to help give you the edge in your dynasty leagues. Now, here are your hosts, Eric Cross and Chris Clegg.
Welcome into another episode of the Tool Shed with Clegg and Cross, brought to you by Rotoballer. This is episode 276. Thank you for joining us. I'm your host, Eric Cross. And with me, as usual, is my 80 grade co-host, Mr. Chris Clay. Chris, how's it going, bud?
It's good. I'm tired. I still haven't fully recovered from the flu. I don't know why. I just feel weak and tired, and it sucks. But I've been going to bed early, way earlier than normal, and I'm just tired, but I'm good otherwise.
Yeah, it's going around, man. Like, a few people at my work have had it at my day job over the last couple of weeks. I had a couple of people on my own team out today. So yeah, it's definitely going around. It sucks. I'm just fingers crossed I don't get it, because everyone around me has, outside of me and my kids, which I probably just jinxed it, but definitely going around. But what cures all sicknesses is talking about baseball, and specifically talking about breakout prospects, which is what we'll be doing here today. We'll do breakout hitting prospects to target today. We'll do another episode later in the week on pitchers. But before we get into that, the usual housekeeping, you can find us on Twitter, Chris at RotoClegg. I'm EricCross04, shows at Toolshed Pod. If you enjoy this podcast, please rate and review. Make sure to check out both of our personal platforms, thedynastydugout.com and toolshedfantasy.com, for more work from each of us, including all of our dynasty, prospect, FYPD rankings, and much, much more. And make sure to check out all the great stuff over at RotoBaller. Use code TOOLSHED. Get you 10% off any premium package. And a lot of great articles, podcasts, tools, a lot of good stuff to help you win this season. So make sure you go ahead and check that out. We're going to start out with a kind of a joint breakout here because we both think very highly of this prospect, and he's both in our top 100s right now. And we're going to segment this out a little bit here. We'll each pick, so we each got one inside the top 100, and then two each inside the top 200, and then two more outside of the top 200, 250 or so. So we'll give you like 10, 11 names or so. What a fun targets here that should probably rise up prospect rankings this season. But let's start out with Joendry Vargas, Chris, the big projectable shortstop from the Los Angeles Dodgers. In 208 plate appearances last season for their DSL affiliate, slashed 328, 423, 529, 12 doubles, 7 home runs, 19 steals, and nearly as many walks as strikeouts, 30 to 31. There's a lot of really fun young prospects in this Dodgers org right now. Like, I could have even picked, mine's not a Dodger, but I could have picked like Jose De Paula, Eduardo Quintero, obviously Joendry Vargas. That's a lot of fun young prospects, but he's the one that I think really stands out among them with the highest upside. And Chris, we could be talking about a guy that is a potential top 20 overall prospect at this time next year.
I think so. I think that's a real possibility because of the talent level, plus the fact that he is an organization called the Los Angeles Dodgers, which pretty dang good at a lot of things. From that standpoint, Vargas just does everything well. He does everything that you want to see from a player. He hits the ball hard. He's athletic. He's got a great frame, already at 6'4". He moves well. He steals bases. And whether that's part of his game long-term or not, it's still hard to tell, but Vargas walks nearly as much as he struck out in the DSL. And you take that with a grain of salt, because anybody could probably go up there in the DSL and not swing a bat and take plenty of walks. That's just the nature of the game. And so while I'm careful to put too much on the plate discipline skills already, I do think that Vargas is a superstar potential when you look at kind of the sum of the parts. The fact that he's in one of the strongest development orgs in the game, and he has all the intangibles, and he has things you can't coach with that frame. So Vargas is a really fun player, and he's one that, for me, is close to the top 50 status, but I wouldn't be shocked at all if he goes, he could possibly skip the complex. Like, maybe not now that they changed it. If they had stuck with the original scheduling, like, I feel like Vargas may have gone straight to Rancho Cucamonga, single A, but he maybe probably goes to the complex level now, and then we see him in full season ball. But I think a full breakout could certainly be in order for Joendry Vargas, who I'm a big fan of.
Yeah, and we saw them do that with Jose De Paula last year, so that definitely would have been a possibility, but we'll see with the new schedule there. But yeah, everything you look for in a breakout prospect, Vargas has, like you mentioned, he's already shown pretty solid raw power, and there's so much projection left in that frame. It's not even funny. If he adds 20, 25, 30 pounds of bulk, man, we're talking about a premium power hitting prospect, and he's still only 18. He just turned 18 back in November, so he'll play the entire 2024 season at age 18. And yeah, I'm really excited to see what he can do over a full year, because good athlete for his size as well. Hopefully he can continue and not lose too much speed if he does bulk up. But yeah, lots of really exciting tools here, and obviously one of the best organizations in all baseball in terms of player development. So yeah, I definitely think we're looking at a maybe even top 10 prospect this time next year. I would not put that out of the realm of possibilities. All right, so that was like our joint investment there. Let's go on to our personal one in their top 100. For me, I hate to do it, but I got to go with a Yankee here. Again, I could have gone with a couple other Dodgers here. A lot of fun young names in that org, but I'm going with the New York Yankees and Roderick Arias. unfortunately had his season cut short last year due to a hand injury. He was really starting to heat up. He had a slow start to the year, but was really heating up. So came at never a good time to have a hand injury like that, but came at the worst possible time right when he was heating up. But overall slash line, 267, 423, 505, had 6 home runs, 17 steals, nearly as many walks as strikeouts. And this was at the complex level. He was in the DSL back in 2022. And he doesn't quite have the same frame as Jordan DeVargas does. He's a couple inches shorter, but still a solid frame. He's strong throughout. It's a very strong frame, especially in the lower half. He really can get to that power already and still has some projection on the frame too. Not as much as Vargas, but still a bit of projection left. And so maybe he doesn't have double plus raw power down the road like Vargas might, but you're looking at a very well-rounded offensive profile. He's a very mature hitter for his age. You know, he could be a plus power guy, above average speed. And he's a good defender too. He's a guy that could stick at shortstop long-term. Obviously they have Volpe there, but Arias is still 3 or so years away. So not really something you need to worry about quite yet. It'll be 19 for basically the entire upcoming season. And I think this is a guy that would already be ranked a bit higher if he didn't miss the last, several weeks of the season. And I really think he's going to shoot up rankings. Probably goes to low A to start, I'm guessing. Maybe goes back to the complex. I'm not quite sure. But a lot of upside here. Again, very fantasy-friendly, rounded offensive profile. Yeah, I think you're going to see Arias be like a top 25 prospect pretty soon, maybe even by midseason or so. So, Chris, who's your guy?
So, I end up going with Felton Sexton, who actually was not in my top 100 until my most recent update. He never was when he signed last year. He didn't play last year. Injury, all that sort of stuff. But I just really, when I reevaluated, looked at Sexton and really liked the profile. I know that ultimately there's still risk because we haven't fully seen him play, but he's spoken of as so advanced. He has potential 5 tools. And I just really believe that once we see Sexton in action, he's going to soar. I mean, he was the top signing in the 2023 international class last year. His listed 6'1" height is already short, according to those around him. He's got projection in the frame. So he's already shown some really solid exit velocities, but the frame screams more projection. A switch hitter, he can hit from both sides. I think the contact skills are a little better from the right, but he's shown some good power from the left side too. Biggest thing with him is just an aggressive approach, but I think that there's potential plus power with plus run times here. And I think that Sexton's one that you can just really dream on becoming something special. And for me, I think that this is the year we really see his stock soar. And so I want to be on the right side of that and go ahead and invest in Sexton, who I don't think will cost you nearly that much. I don't think he's going to cost top 100 type status personally, but he could really take off. And I think that he's a great investment. Even if you don't think he's a top 100 guy, invest, because he's a special talent, in my opinion. And we'll see that as soon as he's on the field. And if he looks good when he's on the field, his stock is going to soar.
Yeah, he was one I was looking at too here. There's a lot of fun names in this Seattle org. There always is. And you know, it seems like every year, obviously there's breakouts in every system, most systems, I should say, but it feels like there's always like the biggest breakouts. A lot of times they're in the Seattle system, it seems like. And we have several names you could have gone with here. A lot of high upside, toolsy guys. Obviously, Lazaro Montez, who I already have top 30 right now. I'm very high on him. Colt Emerson, obviously Jonathan Classe is very toolsy. Ryan Bliss is fun, and Celestin fits in there too. Michael Arroyo, more so on the hitting side, but yeah, this is one of my favorite systems to talk about in Seattle because of all the exciting young hitters. And yeah, Celestin is definitely right in there. I don't have him top 100 right now, but he's not that far off for me either. And I definitely echo a lot of what you said there. Now we're going to the 100 to 200 range of our prospect rankings. We'll give you two each from this range. My first guy here, Mac Horvath, and I've talked about him before in our FYPD episodes, but I still think he is just being incredibly slept on overall. This is a guy, it's a plus power, plus speed profile. Not a ton of projection left, not really any projection left. Obviously, he's a college guy, not like these 17, 18-year-olds we were talking about earlier in the show. He's strong, he's athletic. We actually share the same birthday, I just figured out, which is cool. But guy that could play all over the field. He's played some third, some second. Probably ends up in the outfield just because that's, I guess they don't have a lot of openings in the outfield in Baltimore either, but more so than the infield, it's pretty much set. But, you know, the kind of concern with him for many was the hit tool. Could he, you know, make enough contact? And yeah, he's probably never going to be a guy that's hitting 280 or something like that, but the approach is solid. There's not a lot of swing and miss in the game. He works the count, draws a lot of walks. So even if he's more of like a 250, 260 guy, which I think the contact skills are there for that, probably have a little bit higher OBP, give a nice little boost in that format. And this is a guy that's potential for 25-25. Like, that's the power speed we're looking at here. In his last two seasons combined at North Carolina, combined in 123 games, 42 home runs and 44 steals and 89 walks in those 123 games. A lot of fun in fantasy-friendly tools in this profile. And a guy that I think is being massively slept on in FYPDs and overall. I nearly have him top 100 right now. He's like 115 or so in my rankings, and I think you could probably cut that in half. He could be a guy pushing top 50 sooner rather than later. Definitely one of my favorite prospects to target right now in general is Mac Horvath. Chris, who's your first guy in this range?
Yeah, that's Luis Baez for me with the Houston Astros, who I've always really loved. His profile, and he's continued to progress and look good. And I know that in his full season debut, after dominating the DSL, looking really good on the complex, like, he went to single A last year as a 19-year-old, and there were mixed bag of results. Like, the stat line doesn't look great when you look at it, but still, we were talking about in 2022 in the DSL, he hit 9 home runs, stole 10 bases while hitting 305. And then at the complex this year, hit 7 home runs and 76 plate appearances while having a 271, 434, 661 slash. Even still, like, if you look at the single A line, he still had a 108 WRC plus, which is pretty impressive. And that's not even age adjusted. So looking at, like, considering he was young at single A, Baez does a lot just really well that I like. And I think that he's the kind of player that puts in the work, and I'm not going to be shocked. He's going to repeat, probably start back in single A. And then when we see him come out this year, I would not be surprised if he looks even better. He had, just in single A, and it wasn't even a big sample, he had a home run that was as high as 112 miles an hour, and he had quite a few over 105 as well. I just believe this could be a 25 home run bat, and everything that Baez has shown has been pretty solid contact plus OBP skills. So his profile, I think, is one to bet on. And you look at the list, height, weight, he's gotten bigger. He's listed 6'1". Now he's up to 6'3". So that's pretty significant. And the contact skills have steadily improved as well. And while the average looked suspect in single A, there's still ultimately the contact skills to back. And he's not going to be a big-time contact guy, but I think Baez is good enough across the board to be a really solid impact. And really, there's not as much hype now as there has been. Or ever has been.
Does it feel like Houston prospects always get undervalued to you, Chris?
Yeah, it's weird.
It's like, this has been one of the better player development organizations for a while. Obviously, a ton of success at the major league level as well. You know, developed all these studs, most of which are homegrown. And even, like, you look at some of their top hitting prospects right now, Joey Loperfido, I think, is underrated. Zach DiCenzo, underrated. Jacob Melton, underrated. Bryce Matthews, I mean, he was just drafted, but I think he was underrated for that draft class. And then Luis Baez. Those are my top five hitting prospects from this org. And I think you can make a case that they are all underrated right now in prospect rankings. So, yeah, definitely I will always bet on Houston. They have shown me that they are one of the best at developing players and getting the most out of players that might not even be elite prospects, but they turn them into good major leaguers on both sides of the ball. Yeah, I like Luis Baez as well. I have him top 200 as well. I actually have him at 192 right now. We'll see if he can jump into the top 100 this year. My next one here, when I tweeted about recently, maybe 4 or 5 days ago, going with a Dodger, what a surprise, Theron Lorenzo, pretty fun name there. You know, catching prospect, played some first base as well, switch hitter with legit power from both sides of the plate, made much more contact from the left side last year, hit 289 there, only hit 213 as a righty, but hit for power from both sides of the plate, nearly a 500 slug as a righty, nearly 600 slug as a lefty. This is a guy right now, the two things that really stand out in the profile, obviously, one being the power that is mentioned, and number two, this guy can get on base. Like, he had a 400 OBP this past year. Let's see, in, what was it, 94 games, 273, 400, 562 was the overall slash line, 24 home runs and 418 plate appearances for Rancho Cucamonga. We did put a little bit of the winter ball as well. Probably goes up to high A next year, as he was at low A the entire year this year. We'll see. The contact skills are the question here, though I don't think they're going to be bad enough that they'll hold him back. But maybe he's more of a 250 hitter, but higher in OBP format. So if you play in that, he gets a nice bump for those leagues. The power's legit. He's actually a solid catcher, obviously. I don't know where he's going to fit in long-term, but you can say that about literally any of these Dodgers prospects. Basically, everyone is blocked. That's how it is with the Dodgers. Obviously, they have Will Smith and Freddie Freeman at first base. So I have no idea where he fits in long-term. He's still a couple years away. They could trade him. Not worried about that right now. I wouldn't advise worrying about that, really, in general. Players move, they get traded. These things have a way of working themselves out. So, yeah, definitely looking to invest in Lorenzo just from what I've already seen. And if he can improve the contact skills, he literally could develop into one of the better fantasy catching prospects in the game. So, yeah, definitely want to get in now before that price tag rises, as I believe it will this upcoming season. Chris, who's your next guy in this range?
And the next one is a Rockies prospect. I know. It's Robert Klaus, who I have just become really enamored with. And I just believe that Klaus has like everything you could want in a fantasy type prospect. We saw this year, you know, really what he was capable of. While I was in the DSL, like, I'm just sitting out here picking DSL guys, I know. But Klaus has a lot of traits that are really intriguing, starting with the power. Kid has massive raw power. He was 17 all season, and he posted like big boy exit velocities, talking like a 106 ninth percentile EV, which is already plus for an MLB player. Yet he was 17 doing that. He hit 7 home runs in the DSL while posting a 325, 423, 561 slash. All that was good for a 155 WRC plus. He even stole 6 bags. I'm not counting on him doing that long term, but I do think that's something to keep an eye on. Klaus, I think the question is like, where does the hit tool fall? And he showed at least average contact skills. We will see when he's stateside how he handles more advanced pitching. But considering how young he is, he didn't turn 18 until the end of November. So he will spend the entire 2024 season as an 18-year-old, probably at the complex. I just really think Klaus could be someone that gives you way more value than you think. And I know Rockies guys always stay undervalued. Like, people stay undervaluing the Rockies guys. And there's reasons. We all know the reasons is to why nobody wants to invest in a Rockies prospect. But I think that Klaus is one to invest in just because the data looks so stinking good. And I'll take my chances that Klaus can continue to develop and be a big-time power hitter with respectable enough batting average.
Yeah. Obviously, you know, there's always that Coors Field dream on with these Rockies prospects, and they always seem to have a lot of fun, like kind of Robert Klaus type guys in their system. Yeah, I like Kolas a lot. That is a good pick there. At least you didn't go, obviously we're not doing pitchers here, but I did that fun little tweet the other day. Did you see that one I put out, Chris? What would you rather invest in? Colorado pitching prospects or hitting prospects with a strikeout rate above 40%?
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
That's a really good pull, actually. I didn't see that, but now I'm questioning myself of like, oh, I'm thinking like, okay, Elijah Green fits that category, but do I want to hope that Chase Dahlander gets traded? I don't know.
It's tough.
Neither is a good spot to be in, but I guess at least if you're a Rockies pitching prospect, you maybe can have some hope they trade you. Actually, I doubt there's any hope they trade you because the Rockies need every bit of pitching that they can.
Right.
So they're not likely to trade anybody because they can't get guys to sign there. Yeah, I think most likely probably the hitters just bank on big upside.
Yeah, that's probably what I would go with as well. And maybe they figure it out. But yeah, that's a really tough one there. All right, let's go past our top 200, 250 or so. We'll give you two more names from this range of our rankings here to close out the show. Chris, who's your first guy?
All right, so going over to the Arizona Diamondbacks system, and this is a guy that I honestly was not overly familiar with before doing the Diamondbacks write-up. And that's Ruben Santana. And I'm really not sure like why I had missed on him before, just not really paid close enough attention. But he signed for $750K back in 2022, and he's just been a hitter ever since. He was in the DSL in 2022, the Complex League in 2023, and he actually posted a 316 batting average at both stops. And the slash between them obviously being 316, but 409, 466. You look, and this year he gained some power. He did only hit four home runs, but he has a pretty intriguing frame that could have added weight and power to it. And he had 20 extra base hits in 52 games. He had a lot of doubles. I think those can turn into home runs with time. He's still really young. I think that he's probably one that I'd like to bet on breaking out this year. And obviously, it's a breakout episode, duh, but his clock times are actually pretty decent. He's been successful on the base pass. I'm not sure steals will be a big part of his game, but I do believe that he has 20 home run plus potential. He's got solid contact and OBP skills, and he may even steal you a few bases, which is not a zero, obviously, and that's helpful to have a guy that can steal 5 or 10 bases at a corner infield spot. And that's pretty significant. I moved Ruben Santana up pretty significantly, close to the 300 range. And I think that there's a lot more in there where he could really take off this coming season.
Yeah. Another guy that I like as well. I have him ranked 321 right now. And he was a guy that was outside my top 500 in the last update in September. So yeah, definitely liking Ruben Santana as well. A couple other guys we could have gone with in this system too. Ansel Luis is a good one. Gino Gruber, Christopher Torin. So some fun players in the Diamondbacks org on the hitting side as well. My first one from this range, I got to go with a Red Sox here. Go with, I'm not sure exactly how to say the first name. I've never actually heard it said, but I'm going with Yoelin Cespedes, who I've just heard so many good things about him that I've heard more than one person say that he might be the best player to come through the DSL from our org, or the Red Sox org, I should say, since Rafael Devers. He's not quite the same size as Devers. He's a little undersized, listed at 5'9", 181. I think he's a little bigger than that now just by looking at him, but he had a really good season this past year in 46 games, 346, 392, 560 slash line, 15 doubles, 4 triples, 6 home runs, 14 walks at 24 Ks. has a similar profile to like what Devers was back then. So I see why there's, I don't think it's a direct comp, but I see why the names have been linked, so to speak, because it is a bat first profile and not a ton of speed. And he's not like zero speed guy, but as he fills out, good chance he's probably a below average runner. And the defense is cringy right now as well. Obviously he's still very young, that can improve, but the leading tools here, which is the reason why he's in this episode, is the bat, the hit tool, the power, both there, you know, could be above average, maybe even plus, and both of those, we'll see how he develops down the road, but he's shown an advanced approach, not a big walk rate in the DSL, but kept the K rate very much in check, almost down to 10%, and really showcased some intriguing raw power already. He already had a 90th percentile EV over 100 miles an hour, just to give you a little taste of that. So yeah, I like him a lot. The bat's going to have to be there as a minimal speed guy that doesn't provide a lot of defensive impact right now. But I think the bat is going to be there, and I think he's going to fly up rankings this year. I think he's going to be a guy that joins like the top five or six Red Sox prospects this season, and a guy that could be a top 100 prospect by the end of the season. Probably coming stateside this year. Really excited just in general, and also as a Red Sox fan, to see what he does in 2024. Yoelin Cespedes is my guy here. Chris, who's your last guy to round up the show?
I do love Cespedes. That's a really good pick. I'm looking forward to seeing some more of him stateside, as you mentioned. Should be a lot of fun. My final guy is Emmanuel Bonilla, the Toronto Blue Jays. He received one of the larger bonuses in last year's class at $4 million. So pretty substantial bonus that he got. And while the results were like, he hit for a good average, he got on base, but like, we're talking about a big time slugger, and he didn't really hit for power. He had three home runs. He did have eight doubles and three triples, which is interesting. We're talking about a really big body dude who can swing the bat well. And I saw a video of him recently, and he reminded me of like a Lazaro Montes build at this point. And I was a bit surprised at how big he had gotten. I know he's listed 6'1", 180, but this dude looks like a beast. Like, he's certainly hit the weights, and he's one that I think is primed for a breakout where he could hit for power. Obviously, he showed he could hit for average last year. Hit 307, pretty dang solid. It's the DSL, so we'll take it with a little bit of a grain of salt there. But I do think Bonilla does a lot of things well, and I do believe that there's breakout potential here. He's spent the full season. He's a 17-year-old. He will be 18 this entire year. And the offensive profile is one that could just really boom. I think that the power, the raw power at least, is enough to bet on here, even if he's an average hitter. Like, I know that average mentioned the average in the DSL. I'm not really like worried too much about that. I don't care if he had 307, but I do think the contact skills are probably average. And if they are, this power could really play up. Emmanuel Bonilla, another DSL guy that we'll get to see stateside that I'm looking forward to seeing.
Yep, absolutely. My last one here, I'm going to the Texas Rangers org with Braylon Morrell. You know, every time I was looking at specific stats for prospects last year, his name just popped up every single time. And I'll look at one here that I did after the season. This was just base surface stats. There was only three prospects in 2023 with 200 plus plate appearances that are under the age of 23 that hit 280 with a ISO over 300. And they all were from the Texas Rangers org, oddly enough. Wyatt Langford, Abimelech Ortiz, and Braylon Morrell was the third guy there. Now look at what he did in 204 plate appearances in the DSL. 344, 417, 644 slash line. Ton of extra base hits. 17 doubles, 8 triples, 7 home runs. You know, a little bit of a free swinger. That's the concern here, is keeping the strikeout rate in check. You know, the contact skills are going to be there. Another guy that doesn't have a ton of speed, probably only like, you know, handful of steals annually type of guy, but the power, he's already showcasing that power that's potentially plus down the road, maybe even, you know, higher than that. This could be like a 30 homer bat over a full season. That's what we're looking at here. Your typical corner outfield mold. But if he can just hit and make enough contact, have around an average hit tool to go with that power, yeah, I think he's going to be a pretty fun player for fantasy purposes. So I think he's going to really skyrocket up rankings this year. And I probably don't even have him high enough right now. Like, this is a guy that could be top 100 by the end of the year, as could a lot of these guys. So very fun episode here to recap who we have. We both had Joandre Vargas. That was like our joint one that opened the show. Mine were Roderick Arias, Matt Horvath, Theron Lorenzo, Yoldan Cespedes, and Braylon Morel. Chris had Felon and Celestin, Luis Baez, Robert Calaz, Ruben Santana, and Emmanuel Bonilla. That's going to wrap up the show. Thanks to everyone for tuning in again this episode. We'll be back on Friday with the pitcher version of this show, which should be a fun one as well. But until then, everyone take care.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.